I praise the Lord today with you. I'm glad you're here. So we just thank you, Lord, that you're present, and we just praise you that we're able to worship you on this day. I want you to know that one of the things that we can really recognize today is we're celebrating the season of Easter. And I want you to think about the season of Easter, because we know that it's a breakthrough season, that it's a season where things move. The Easter season is a time where we celebrate the stone being rolled away, the king rising. We celebrate things that seem closed. We think of that as that stone, the law is broken in a sense. The Spirit of God is bursting forth from the tomb. There's just an awakening that's happening. There's just a time where all seasons have changed, all things have changed. Whenever someone wants you to change the way you refer to time, don't do it. Don't do BCE, do AD, do BC. Just what has always been, because everything moves forward and backward from the time of the Lord and his resurrection and the time of his death. We move all those things in his birth. We recognize those things. And we say that, Lord, you're doing mighty things that we cannot understand. And that's where the gospel finds us this morning. We are children of a new day. It says that Jesus Christ, it said it was the first day of the week when that tomb opened. Many times it's referred to as the eighth day. We don't understand eighth day, but it's a new day. We're not Seventh-day Adventists. We're not people of the old covenant. We are people of the new day. We are people that enter into a whole new realm with Jesus awaking. At the end of that day, he found it such importance to continue in the will of the Father that even as the apostles are gathered in a room, 10 of them, Thomas not being there, and Judas having already taken his life for his hope had run out. He comes to the place and he walks through the walls, Jesus that is, and he walks in among the apostles and he speaks this word. Sometimes we hear grace, but the word he says is peace, shalom, peace be with you, the peace of heaven be upon you, that there is peace between God and man because of my resurrection. There's a peace I'm giving you that's different than any peace and greeting I've ever said to you before. And he walks into that room and he speaks these things to the apostles, and he is going to commission them. He is going to release something in the earth, and he is going to change the world forever. Now, I know that a lot of people have been in a lot of different churches, a lot of different teachings over the year, and they argue about some of the things that happen in this day, but you cannot argue with Scripture. So if you find yourself arguing with Scripture, go back and ask the Lord what it means. Go ask the Lord what happened on this day. But for what he decides to do is he breathes on them and he's going to say to them, those sins which you hold are held and those sins which you loose are loosed. I'm giving you keys to the kingdom. If you look at my seal, you'll see a key on it because it's part of the apostolic church. It's part of the work of the bishops to carry keys to move the kingdom. It's part of that apostolic foundation that was laid that very day that Jesus said. He had not restored them for running off. He had not said, hey, where were you when I was crucified? He is coming in to do the will of the Father, and he's doing it as though it was all restored. Now, to give you a further picture of that, St. John on the Isle of Patmos, he's on the Lord's Day, the eighth day again, he's on the Lord's Day, and he is celebrating the liturgy. He's celebrating the Eucharistic Great Thanksgiving around the table when he is pulled into the vision and sounds of what we know to be the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in that day and in that time, he sees things as though they are. He sees Jesus Christ on a throne and around him 24 thrones with 24 elders, by the way, of which John was one of. And although he's on the Isle of Patmos, he's seeing the kingdom, the foundation, and the government of God already set in place with the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles, even at that point where they're not yet martyred or around that kingdom. God touches things on earth and in heaven, and he has a plan. Many people say, can't I just go to Jesus and he'll forgive my sins? Yes, he hears you in a sense, but he said, do it this way. There's a time and a season where God is calling his church back together. What I'm going to say is something that I really believe is prophetic right now. That the last 1,000 years has been like there's a spoiler, like God has allowed the church to be carried off into the world. Not unlike when the children of Israel were carried off. There was a breaking of apostolic unity. Now, the work of these apostles is to lead the church. He is not just submissioning them and missioning them. He is co-missioning them. And think about that for a minute. Think about co-missioning. They are on a co-mission with Christ. They are working in the leadership of what God wants to do in the kingdom. In fact, it goes even further than that. They are foundational to what God wants to do in the kingdom. Jesus, it says, is the cornerstone. He is that chief cornerstone. And he is the foundation that's laid. Many are going to stumble over that cornerstone. But the apostles are the foundation stones that go with the cornerstone. Unless the cornerstone's laid right, unless the foundation stones are laid right, nothing is going to stand on that. Then every one of us that come beyond that are built upon that. They are built upon the foundation of the church, on the foundation of the apostles, on the apostolic teaching. It said in Acts 2:42, they were gathered to four things. They were gathered to the prayers, liturgy. They were gathered to the table, Eucharist. They were gathered to the apostles' teaching, which is now the New Testament. And they were gathered to fellowship. They were gathered to that place of fellowship. The season is no longer when people can say, I worship God on a hill by myself. That is not an open way of Orthodox Christianity. That is a lie. That is pagan. That is not Christian. Christians come together. They gather together. They do not forsake the gathering together. And they bring what is prescribed worship on the holy day that's prescribed to them. It's the day of the Lord. And the church all over the earth throughout time gathers on that day and brings laudable praise and worship to a God who inhabits the praise of his people. It's the day we are to come together. We are called together by the Lord himself to come in unity together. Anyone that tries to tell you that they've got God on their own and they're out there, they might love God, but they don't know God. Because God says, do not forsake the gathering together. There is no other way. This is his plan. He works in a body. He comes in a body. He gives gifts in a body. He encourages a body. He speaks to a body. What I'm telling you is that this is this apostolic day that we're talking about where the keys of the kingdom are given, that which is held, that which is loosed. He is the door, but they have the keys. You're going to go back and forth through their word that they are to govern the church on the earth. And that always go through them, through to him. And I'm not saying that they're the Savior. I'm saying look at the king who walks in the room and finds his first day work assigned by the Father to go and give authority to men. Now you can say, I don't like men. I don't like people. I don't trust them. I get it. He knows what's in men. But there's a place in us we have to crucify that's Gnostic. There's a place where we don't like matter, where we don't like to see Mary lifted up higher than someone and called blessed by all generations because we're afraid, oh, was she being deified? No, but God wants to glorify man. He has a choice and a plan to make us one like them, that we would be within the community of the Trinity, not equal to the Trinity in any way. But what do you think he's taking you from glory to glory for? He's lifting you up. He's elevating that place of our fall. He's bringing us into the place where there's an open door and an open kingdom to us, and that we, by his blood, have the right to go into the very throne room of God. And where the throne is, that's where the worship is. And we go to that very place. We're invited into that place. We're not looked at and said, what are you doing here? Hopefully we have on the white robe of righteousness. Hopefully we're walking not in our strength, but in his strength. And we come into the very place where that government is, both on earth and in heaven, and it flows. And we trust that God has commissioned these apostles to do this work. In fact, that's what apostolic succession is, that they're looking for other people that God has told other men that they will they will carry that through. They're going to put that Spirit of God through. And it's not just for the orders of ordination. It's also the work of the bishop to do confirmation. That means you may be baptized, but there's got to be a confirmation that God, the Holy Spirit, indwells in you and gifts are released, and that is the work of a bishop. And that's the work that he's talking about here, that he's coming into the world to change the world, to transform the world. This is before Pentecost. This is not the church receiving its birthday. This is a private meeting that he goes into a room. In fact, it's going to say 1 week later on the eighth day again that Thomas is going to come in and he's going to come with that place of having to see it. I got to touch your side. And he doesn't just say, unless I touch your hands, unless I touch your feet. Oh, I got to touch your hands, your feet, and your side. I got to have all the witnesses I can. And in one sense, that's understandable. But in another sense, it makes me wonder what he was missing in that room that day for. You know, that's the same thing that's going to happen with St. Paul. When he saw, he's going to have had all this knowledge and all this thought that he had been trained in, and he is going to be an enemy of the church until he's struck in blind by the King of all kings. And he goes, why are you persecuting me? He says, I didn't even know there was a you. I didn't even know. Blindness is blindness. Commissioning. First day business of the church, that chief cornerstone. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. And it says this, it says, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will be no means put to shame. Therefore, to you who believes, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. If you'll pay attention to that, Jesus names in Matthew 16, he names Peter Cephas, the rock. He says, you're the rock. In other words, it's a rock of offense. Again, they carry the same offense that he does because they're stones. And when we go into 1 Peter, it says that if us as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, we're stones being placed by the master into the house of which he's dwelling. And what he wants to do. You're built, your faith life is built upon the apostolic faith. It's built up for a purpose. And we have to get out of our own purpose and start to look at the purpose of the Lord. He has laid that apostolic foundation. He says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And I think it's just a powerful thing. He gave the apostolic church the power through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. Now let's remind ourselves, the Holy Spirit, not a it, it's he. It is an equal and powerful part of the Trinity, containing omnipresence and every other thing that the Trinity does. God, the Holy Spirit, is whom we're speaking of. Often not welcomed in the church. Often feared. Often put aside, often maligned, often thrown away, often discarded, often not wanting him to be present because he moves things and changes things that are out of control. God, the Holy Spirit, is what he says. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit, holy apostles, so you can be the foundation of the church. You can turn keys. You can open doors that no man can shut, and you can shut doors no man can open because some reason that God sees the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the first work of it is to restore power and to say, this has been my heart all along, that we would dwell together, that we would be in unity, that people on earth and the people of heaven would all be in one church, and that there is a connecting point, and that those who have been given authority on the earth to bind and loose those sins can loose them, because the work of Jesus Christ was to come to set the captives free. Sin binds us. It's chains, it's jails, it's things that need to open, it's bars that need to be taken, and we have no other way. But he says to them, go to the apostles, confess your sin, and they'll loose you, and you'll be able to come, between heaven and earth. Jacob's ladder will be open to you. You will be able to come as the firstborn of all creation into the very presence of God Himself. In a few weeks, it'll be several, it'll be early June, that we'll celebrate Pentecost. But I'll tell you this, when you look at Pentecost, this apostolic order has to come into place. It's a very key thing that happens. The 11 recognize that the number is 12. And that while Judas's office has been vacated, that until they fill that position, the glory is not going to fall. So they come down to it, and they knew that in the Holy Spirit, the Lord says, the 12th apostle, and I had someone say to me the other day, I really don't think it should have been Matthias, I think it should have been Paul. And that's not truth. Paul did not walk out the life with Jesus. They had to be eyewitnesses of all that would happen in his ministry. Matthias becomes elected because he had walked with him forever. And as Matthias takes the seat of Judas, that order is filled. And they come into that place where they're in unity in the upper room waiting for that day to come. And when Pentecost comes, it says it comes like flames of fire upon the heads of the apostles. That's why we bishops wear mitres. It's a picture of that. And that fire is to go into them and out throughout the world. See, the whole purpose that God has is to have Holy Spirit-filled bishops on the earth. That's His plan and purpose. See, that's one of the reasons we've struggled so many times. I've heard so many people say, can't we just change the name of the Charismatic Episcopal Church? It sounds like Episcopal, and everybody goes there that it's something other than this. And the Lord has not allowed that to happen because I think in His new day, in this time, in this frame, 1,000 years after the church split, part of the revival is that God wants a church led by Spirit-filled bishops. Charismatic episcopi. Because He has an order. He has an order to the church, and the order is God's. It's not mine. I don't choose that. I've often thought of running. That's not the point. The point is not that God is, that somehow a guy is standing before you and has authority. The guy has not only authority, but responsibility to move in the very will of the Father, in the very person of Christ, in the very power of God, the Holy Spirit, to bring the church to the place that is in the heart and will of the Father. He's doing this work. If you don't like John 20, you really need to have a talk with the Lord, because He really is going to show you something. He's going to open a door. He's going to open something that you can't see. And I think that there's been a time where God has allowed these things to happen. When we talked about it in Revelation this morning, you saw John and he sees the seven churches and the seven spirits over the church. Some people say that's just those seven churches in Asia Minor. Some people say it's the church of all time. Some people say it's the seven councils of the church. That after the seven councils of the church, there was a breaking. You know? Whatever you want to believe in that, whatever you want to study out, you have a look at it. But one of the things that we recognize is that Christ is very present there. He's very present in the churches. In fact, in Zechariah 4, right, it shows the flow of the oil going to the churches, the lampstands. See, that's the Holy Spirit. It has to be connected by the Holy Spirit to Christ, to the Father. That's the way this works. And so there's been a time where God has allowed a lot of folks to have, because of this great divorces that have gone on, and people go, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. It's exactly sectarianism that he warned about in 1 Corinthians when he told the church not to fall prey to sectarianism. Don't break down the church and say, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Catholic, I'm a this, I'm a that. That's not the heart of the Lord. That is actually disobedience. It's a spirit of rebellion. And what God wants is the church to be unified. God wants one holy Catholic church. God sees the church as one, even though we see it split and splintered. And what he's saying is, just like he said to the Pharisees, he said, you would not be guilty of this if you didn't say you knew. So when we like to tear out pieces of Scripture that don't make sense to us or don't fit in our previous paradigm, our church paradigms, and we honor that more than honoring God, Jesus says, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part in me. What do we do about that if we're not sacramental? What do? We repent. We come into the place where we're drinking his body and blood, and we say, yes, Lord, I don't understand. There's a mystery involved, but you're the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. What if we don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit? What if we don't believe the church is to be operating in healing gifts and words of knowledge and things like that? Well, then we repent. We say, God, the Holy Spirit, I know there's been things that have been used the wrong way in the past. I know that men have failed in some way, but that does not mean your gifts fail. That does not mean your order fails. That does not mean your purpose is to be changed by men. Who do you think's behind that? Who do you think wants God the Holy Spirit not in the church? Who do you think wants the gifts of God not to be present by his people? Who do you think wants the church to be separated and breaking the bond of love? They will know us by our love. This is the one, this is what he's talking about on this Apostolic Sunday, that God causes the growth. He opens the gate, the door, the ministry. The under-shepherds have those keys. And that apostolic church is to go forth with signs and wonders. Yes, the commissioning of the apostles is an amazing thing. And you're going to do backflips to explain it anyway, but other than he gave that authority. You're going to have to. It's not Pentecost. That's 50 days. This is first day business. What is so big on the heart of the Lord that he made that first day business? You're going to reckon that in your soul. You're going to have to. If you go away and just forget it, that's up to you. But my sense is, get in the scripture, start to understand the church of all time, the church of the firstborn, the one that has power, the one that comes from the Father, the one who's raised from the dead, the one who has power. Peace be with you. And he says, you know, allows Thomas to touch those pieces and hands, those hands and feet. He allows many of us to have a larger request toward the evidence we're willing to receive. But he's looking for believers. He's looking for stones. He's looking to allow for you to say, please, Lord, cut away the things that aren't the part of the stone you want to build with. Bring relief to the things that aren't you. Build in me the things that are you, that I may stand. I'm tired of letting the devil take my future and my present. I'm tired of letting him destroy the church. I'm tired of being part of that in any way. Show me what you want me to believe. Show me how I believe. Help me to stay under authority. Help me to recognize that many things that I believe need to be crucified. They need to be purified. They need to be sanctified. Oh God, a church that falls on their face like that and asks that, how can you not fill that? In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.